praise, songs that'll move out of you in that power in other people. There is a fire, a terror, and judgment that awaits your sinful soul. There is a clothing of fire and judgment that'll burn you eternally whole. So come to the love of Jesus. Come to the cross, be purified, and escape the fire of judgment that's reserved for those that defy. Taking those and just moving in those songs, in those sermons. Get folks to moving in a song, in a sermon. You begin to get songs that will produce fire to people. Now, let me talk to you. Do you understand now? I couldn't tell you in words, could I? You had to eat it, that knowledge and love from Jesus, didn't you? Do you understand now? And thou shalt guard thy righteous creation and not eat the tree of evil from Satan, that let this weapon be turned into harshness and cruelty and condemnation, but you shall eat in love every time. Oh, because when you begin to eat in harshness, you also frustrate the cross of Christ. It doesn't do the work that it's supposed to do. It only brings condemnation and leaves no way of escape, no hope. Many of you, many times you will deliver sermons on the terror and the love of God. You'll deliver them with loud, bold words. Other times you will speak them softly, but they'll penetrate right to the very soul. Many times you can shout loud at people, and it'll be most of the time it will be loud, just like prophecy. But there's a lot of times when you must talk softly, just like you hear me talking, to people, to not scare them. Because you can make them run like rabbits with that terror. And you'll be guided as you go along, as you eat of wisdom from this tree, which is Jesus. You'll be guided in this thing. But guard your righteous soul, your righteous creation well. Do not eat from Satan of harshness, vengeance, and hate. Do not let hate move in. The only guard you have against hate is to do this thing weeping. And as you're moving into this work, terror and the judgment of the Lord, guard yourself. Do not eat until you do not begin to minister and prophesy until you're weeping. Do not do this, because that weeping, that love, is what will guard you, give you a sign that you're doing this in the love of Christ instead of harshness of Satan. You can use this cross as a terrible weapon and find yourself tricked into fighting on the bad side of Satan to condemn and hold people in captivity instead of delivering. So it will be done in love, okay? Love produces. You've noticed it now. You've got that feeling. You'll have this tape. You see that love produces the judgment fire stronger than you can ever produce it in condemnation, doesn't it? So now you will not start out preaching on the cross and striving until you go over this tape, go through it just like it was said, until you establish yourself in the method that God wants you to use, and that is to come, rest in faith first, in righteousness. Why? Because if you do not rest in peace and righteousness, then you'll get to strive, right? And then that'll give Satan an entrance into you. So you'll rest in peace, righteousness first, then you'll move into thankfulness, then into love, just like it says on this tape, and then you'll move into the ministry of the judgment and the terror of the cross. Ooh. 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 Now let's again look at Jesus right there before us and eat his divine love and weeping mingled with judgment and terror. Ooh. Let love and weeping work in him. Let those groanings in the spirit of love work in him. While that love is moving, weeping in the spirit, let's eat of the knowledge of life. Let's eat of the knowledge of God's love in salvation. And let's get a knowledge of his plan and his love that can be delivered to anyone for their deliverance, for their salvation, for their healing, to let them escape from the terrible judgment that awaits them. Now if you want it, if you will accept it, God has made provision for you in his love, offered you a way to escape this terrible judgment. Even while you're dead in your sins, just as you are, without any kind of works, without any kind of religious works, even though there is no way of escape, sin must be judged, the working of Satan must be judged, and any flesh that yields to Satan must be judged. Even though there is no way of escape from your sin, by any religious methods of do's and don'ts, or any righteous thing that you may do in your own efforts, even though there is no escape from the judgment of God upon your sins, upon your sicknesses, your unbelief, your diseases and demons, and working of death, God's love has given you a choice of how you will be judged. Will you be judged in wrath and judgment fire? Or will you be judged in his glory and glory fire through Jesus Christ? On the same cross, on the same crucified body of Jesus, on the same body of his beloved Son, crucifying and dying and suffering on the cross, on that same body which God had chosen to reveal his terrible judgment and wrath against you and your flesh, God in his love has given you the way of escape, the way of glory, the way of his righteousness, a way that you can be judged in righteousness, a way that you can escape the wrath and judgment fire of God. God in his love has given you a way you can escape your sins and their judgment. God's love has given you a way you can escape your diseases and their judgment. God has given you a way to escape all the workings of Satan and all the workings of your old Adam sin nature. In his love, he's given you that. Right there upon the body of his son. In his love, God chose to make the ultimate sacrifice by giving to you his son. And his son in love chose to die for you, to bear all of your needs on his body. And while he suffered in anguish and pain and humiliation, the Father God suffered with him. Even though he were not, could not suffer in the flesh, he suffered in anguish, in darkness, travail of soul, there upon the sins. There as the sins were placed upon the body of his son. He suffered in anguish as his son died a terrible agonizing death. God himself suffered for the man which he had created, that through disobedience had fell into sin. Let's look in the scriptures. Ooh. Isaiah the 53rd chapter, verse 4 and 5. Listen to the Isaiah the prophet looking forward to the cross and the crucified body of Jesus. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He hath carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Let's read it again. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He has carried our sorrows. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah the prophet, looking down through the years to the crucified body of Jesus, he saw your sins and my sins placed upon him. He saw the sins of the whole world placed upon the crucified body of Jesus. He saw your pains and my pains placed upon his body. He saw your sickness and my sickness placed upon his body. He saw all the demons working in your Adam nature and in my Adam nature placed upon the body of the beloved Son of God. He saw all of your needs, all of your weaknesses, all of your infirmities placed upon the body of the beloved Son of God there on the cross. He saw all of your rebellions or your transgressions against God. He saw all the old ways of your flesh placed upon the body of the Son of God hanging on the cross. Lord Jesus. He saw this as the provision of God for a way of escape, for a way for you to be judged righteously in glory and rest. Then we see Peter after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter the 2nd chapter, verse 24, when he said, who him own self bore our sins in his body upon the tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness, with whose stripes we were healed. Peter, a witness of this great salvation upon the crucified body of Jesus, he said, I saw your sins placed upon the body of the Son of God, and I saw him absorb them on the inside of him. Peter, a witness to this, said, I saw your diseases. placed upon the body of the Son of God, and I saw him absorb him inside him. I saw all of your old nature, all of your old sins, all of your old wrongs, all of your rebellion, all the workings of Satan placed upon the body of Jesus Christ. And he absorbed them inside of him to carry them to utter death with him and into utter destruction in a tomb that you might be set free. So what do you do to begin to escape the wrath of God? We see in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, verse 1, how that Paul the Apostle wrote how that Jesus Christ was set forth, crucified, right before your very eyes, crucified among you. God in his love and mercy has preserved and reserved for you in the Spirit, right there before you, the crucified, dying body of Jesus Christ, so that you might come to him by faith and accept by a confession of faith that your sins have been placed upon him and absorbed into his body. And you'll feel the Holy Ghost take your sins and baptize them into that dying body of Jesus Christ. And so that you might come to him by faith and confess that your whole soul, your whole Adam nature, your whole body has been placed upon the body of Jesus Christ and absorbed in his body. And as you make this confession, you'll feel the Holy Ghost, just baptize you right into that dying body of Jesus. And then you'll feel, the Holy Ghost take the flesh of Jesus, the righteous flesh of Jesus, and the righteous blood of Jesus, and just clothe it upon you and saturate it all in your flesh. And then when he dies, your sins die. When he dies, your sickness dies. When he dies, your old Adam nature dies. When he dies, Satan dies. But the first step is coming to that crucified body of Jesus and accepting that love provided there by letting him baptize you into his dying body by the Holy Ghost, and then letting him clothe upon you and saturate you with his righteous water of his body and the righteous blood of his blood, and let it come down inside of you. Now let's get a understanding of how God is revealing the mystery in these last days of his plan of salvation. Let's eat of that knowledge with love and weeping moving in our soul. Let's eat of that knowledge, because it's very important that we have a complete knowledge and a complete understanding of the workings of the love of God in salvation, because he is again in his love offering it to the world in these days. Been hidden in the Bible, a mystery.
If it's been in the Bible all this time in simplicity, why is it that man has not understood this until this time? Simply because the mind of man over the past 1500 years or longer has been somewhat blinded from the order, the true order of God, by religious doctrines and philosophies and theologies that led men away, led the minds of men away from the true order of God into the false order of religion, philosophy, and theology. Now, we're ready to see the order of God as revealed through Jesus Christ. We find the true order of God for the supernatural life of men on this earth, that they might live in power, glory, and victory, and so forth. We find the key to this in the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God set forth his order in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now there has been many orders set forth by men that did not follow this pattern of the order set forth by God through his Son Jesus. There has been many religions that set forth their own order, disregarding the order of God revealed through Jesus Christ. But you and I want to be able to live in the order of God as he set forth and revealed to the world through Jesus Christ. So let's review the events that happened in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that we might get an understanding, or begin to get an understanding, of the order of God. Most of us know the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, but let's go into it in a summary, in somewhat of detail, so that we'll have it planted in our mind and be ready to follow that order. All of us know or have read or have heard about the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, how that he died on the cross, and how that he, just before he died, he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Then we know that they took the body of Jesus Christ, crucified and dead, down from the cross, and put him in the tomb. And we read in the Gospels how that they wrapped his dead body in linen or in grave clothes. And we also read in the Gospel how that before they wrapped his dead body in the linen grave clothes, that they packed his body in spices to preserve his body or to keep the stink of death from seeping out from the tomb. And then they laid his dead body in a tomb wrapped in linen packed with spices. Then they rolled a stone over the mouth of the tomb. Now Jesus, crucified and dead and buried, Then we also read in the Gospels how that at the time of his resurrection, after he had been laying in the tomb for 3 days, 3 nights, how that an angel came down from heaven and rolled back the stone from the door of the tomb. And we read how the keepers at the tomb trembled and fell as dead men under the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then we read in the Gospels also how that when Mary and some of the others came to the tomb, that they saw in the tomb two men. The body of Jesus was missing, but they saw in the tomb two men that were bright and shining, or two angels. One sitting at the head of where Jesus was laying, and another at the feet of where Jesus was laying. And they also saw the linen or the grave clothes that had been taken off, that had been unwrapped from his body. Well, Jesus Christ was missing. Resurrected, glorified, and resurrected. Now, if you and I want to enter into the supernatural life for our daily life that was established through God's order of death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then you and I must, by faith, identify ourselves to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We must identify ourselves in every detail with the death of Jesus on the cross, and his burial in the tomb, and his resurrection. Now we see this order recorded many places in the epistles through the revelations of the apostles. Let's read just a few of these where we can get an understanding of this order of God before we go into our acts of faith that will begin to bring forth our supernatural life. In Colossians, the 2nd chapter, verse 11 through 13, we read this, "In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." And then again we read in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verses 4 through 6, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And again we read in Romans the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 12, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we're ready, by faith, to begin to identify ourselves with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that we can begin to enter into our daily supernatural life of victory, power, health, healing, and so forth that was provided for us through Jesus Christ. Let's read of his death first, and how that we are identified with him in his death. In Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, verse 4 and 5, we read, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And then again we read in 1 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, might live under righteousness. With his stripes we were healed. As Jesus Christ hung there on the cross, all of your sins were placed upon him. All of your sicknesses were placed upon him. All of your diseases placed upon him. All of the workings of your old carnal nature that might hinder you or destroy you were placed upon Jesus Christ as he hung there on the cross. In reality, God is saying to you that you and your old nature died with Jesus there on the cross. And we see it described a little better in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 24, that declares that who his own self bear our sins in his body on the tree. As Jesus hung there on the cross, God placed upon him your sins, and Jesus absorbed your sins into his body. As Jesus Christ hung there on the cross, God placed upon him your sicknesses, and he absorbed them in his body on the cross. All of your sins, all of your sicknesses, all of your diseases, all of your worries, all of your troubles, all of your problems, all the workings of your old carnal nature, of your old fleshly nature, was placed upon the body of Jesus Christ, and he absorbed all of these into his body as your sacrifice, as your substitute. And then we see John, the 19th chapter, verse 30, how that after Jesus, hanging on the cross, had absorbed all of your sins and all of your sickness and all of your diseases and all of your trouble and all the problems of your old nature, all of your old fleshly hang-ups, after he had absorbed these into his body, we see Jesus fulfilling the Old Testament order of the sacrificial lamb that would give his last dying bleat. We see him when he cries, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now, when Jesus died, all of your sins that had been absorbed into his body died with him. All of your sickness that had been absorbed into his body died with him. All of your diseases, all of your troubles, all of your problems, all the workings of your old fleshly nature that had been absorbed into his body, when Jesus died, when he said, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost, all of your old nature died with him. As Jesus died there on the cross, all of your lusts, all of your fleshly desires, all the workings of your old nature that had been absorbed into his body died with him. Then we also see in Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, verse 14, and Colossians, the 2nd chapter, verse 14 and 15, that he absorbed into his body all the workings of Satan, coming through men, or all the direct attacks of Satan, that might come against you directly were absorbed into his body and died with him. We read Colossians, the second chapter, verse 14 and 15, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And then in Hebrews, second chapter, verse 14, that he also took upon himself through death, that he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. When Jesus died on the cross, all the workings of Satan, all the principalities and powers of religious rules and religious condemnation that would try to make your old nature, your old fleshly nature, be Christ-like, through their falseness, they all died with him in his body on a tree, to leave you free so that you'll not try and struggle to live up to certain religious standards, but to leave yourself free to identify yourself with Jesus by faith in his death on the cross so that your old nature might die, be destroyed, and be prepared for the bringing forth of that life of victory through the resurrection of Jesus. Yes, when Jesus died on the cross, all the workings of Satan, all the principalities and powers working against us through men, and all the direct attacks of Satan against us, of violence, condemnation, guilt, striving, and so forth, that is set up in our life as we try to obey the ordinances of man, all of these things were absorbed into his body and died with him. Now to continue God's order for us to understand how we, by faith, can accept and identify ourselves with Christ, let's continue. After Jesus died on the cross, after that he cried, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost, they took his dead body down from the cross, wrapped it in spices and linen, and laid it in the tomb, and sealed the tomb with a stone, to let his dead body go through the death state for 3 days. Now we read in Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 4, that therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. And then we again read in Colossians, the 2nd chapter, verse 12, buried with him in baptism. Then we again read in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 3, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." when they took the dead body of Jesus down from the cross, and put it in a tomb, all of your sins that have been absorbed in his body and died with him on the cross were buried with him in his body in the tomb to be destroyed with him in death as his body went through the death state for 3 days. All of your lust that had been absorbed into his body on the cross were buried in his body in the tomb to be destroyed with him in death as his body went through the death state for 3 days. All of your diseases and sicknesses that had been absorbed into his body and died there on the cross were taken down from the cross in his body and were buried with him in the tomb to be destroyed with him in death as his body went through the death state for 3 days. All of the workings of Satan against you, all of your old nature that had been absorbed into the body of Jesus and died with him there on the cross were taken down with him, still absorbed into his body, and placed in the tomb to go through the death state for 3 days. Be completely destroyed. All of the workings of your old nature, all of your old fleshly nature with all its desires that had been crucified and died with Jesus as he absorbed them into his body there on the cross, were taken down in his body and placed in the tomb to go through the death state for 3 days and to be completely destroyed. Now we're ready to, by faith, begin to identify ourselves with the glorification and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As the dead body of Jesus Christ lay in a tomb, and after 3 days of going through the death state to destroy your old nature that he had absorbed in his body, to destroy your old nature through death, all at once, in the dead body of Jesus Christ, laying there in a tomb, something began to happen. Now we find this process called many things in the scriptures. We find Jesus calling this process that was going on in his dead bodies that lay there in the tomb. We find him calling it being glorified. John the 12th chapter, verse 23, when he said, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." Then we see in John the 17th chapter, verse 1 and verse 5, that Jesus called it glorifying. "Glorify thy Son, Father," he said. And then God himself speaking out of heaven, in John the 12th chapter, verse 28, said, I will glorify thee. And then in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verse 5, we see this process that was about to get ready to take place in the body of Jesus Christ there in the tomb. We see it called quickening. In Colossians, the 2nd chapter, verse 13, we also see this process called quickening. In Ephesians, the 1st chapter, verse 20, we see Paul describing this process that was about to take place in the body of Jesus Christ as being a rotting or massaging in of power. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, a working of his mighty power, which he wrought or massaged in Christ when he raised him from the dead. As the dead body of Jesus lay there in the tomb, wrapped in linen and packed in spices, at the end of the third day, after it went through his complete death state, suddenly there began to move a quickening in the dead body of Jesus. There began to be massaged into his body wave after wave of the glory of the life. The Shekinah glory of the life of the Father God. As these waves and quickenings begin to move into the dead body of Jesus, all at once his dead body begin to come alive and begin to glow. As these quickenings, these glorifying work of the Holy Spirit begin to move through the dead body of Jesus Christ. All at once it began to come alive and begin to glow with the Shekinah glory of God. As these quickenings and this moving or rotting or massaging of power begin to move through the dead head of Jesus Christ as he lay there in the tomb, all at once his head and his face begin to come alive, begin to shine, and begin to glow as the glorified process brought him alive eternally. And moving from his head all the way down through his body, down through his feet, down through his legs, and on down through his feet, went the quickening, glorified process of the Shekinah glory of the Father God. And his body and his legs and his feet begin to shine and begin to glow and begin to quicken and begin to move as the glorifying process of God was completed all of in his body and all in his legs and all in his feet. And as the dead hands and arms of Jesus lay there in the tomb, all at once, in his arms and down in his hands and in his fingers, there began to be movings and quickenings and wroughtings and massagings of the mighty Shekinah glory of the Father God. And his dead arms and his dead hands began to shine and began to glow and began to come alive there in the tomb, as the Father God, moving with the quickening and the massaging of his mighty power, brought his Son alive eternally. Now he was quickened. Now his whole body was brought alive. Now he was glorified with the glory of the Father God as he lay there in a tomb. Now we read over in Colossians, 2nd chapter, verse 13, how that you hath he quickened together with him. And again in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verse 5, we read how he hath quickened us together with Christ. As the body of Jesus Christ was glorified there in the tomb, your body was glorified with him. As the supernatural peace of God was quickened and brought alive in the mind and in the heart, in the body of Jesus Christ there in the tomb, then the supernatural peace of God was quickened and brought alive in your body. As all the supernatural natures of God was quickened, glorified, quickened, and brought alive in the body of Jesus Christ there in the tomb, all of these natures also hath he quickened and brought alive in your body. So you, by faith, can begin to identify yourself with this glorified, resurrected Jesus, this glorified Jesus that's now laying in the tomb, alive, glorified, in glorified form, so that you can begin to, by faith, identify yourself with a glorified Jesus as a finished work in his body that you receive by faith. Let's continue on with the resurrection process of Jesus Christ so that we can by faith identify ourselves with him. Now as the glorified body of Jesus lay there in the tomb with the supernatural life of the Shekinah glory of God pulsating, vibrating, movings of glory, moving all in his body, waiting for the full work of his resurrection to be completed, waiting to be clothed upon with the priestly garments of his resurrection. The two angels that the disciples had seen in the tomb began to unwrap his glorified and eternal body. They unwrapped his body, and he stood on his feet, glorified in bodily form, quickened or awakened from the dead. There he stood, the second Adam, the quickening spirit. There he stood, the begotten Son of God. There he stood, the firstborn from the dead, glorified and shining all in his body with the eternal life of the Father God. Now the two angels begin to clothe upon him his glorious garments of his resurrection. Glorious garments that had been prepared in the heavens. His high priest's garments of glory. Getting him ready to enter into the holiest of all in heaven. Fulfilling the Old Testament order of the priesthood dressed to enter into the holiest of holies. But there he stood, clothed upon with his resurrection, clothed upon with his high priestly garments of glory, a finished work, a complete clothing upon. And then the angel moved the stone from over the door of the tomb, and he burst forth, or stepped forth out of the tomb in his resurrection, in full resurrection. Now we read in Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verse 5, how that we have been raised up together with him. When Jesus Christ stood on his feet in the fullness of his glorified eternal body, we're told here that we stood up with him. And then again, Colossians, the 2nd chapter, verse 12, ye are risen with him. And then again in Revelations, the 1st chapter, verse 6, hath made us kings and priests unto God. And again in Colossians, the 3rd chapter, verse 3, are hid with Christ in God. So we can begin to identify ourselves as being raised up with him, living and moving in glorified form. We can identify ourselves by faith as being clothed upon with our garments of the resurrection, our priestly garments that made us priest and king unto God. We can also begin to claim or begin to identify ourselves in his resurrection, that we are hid with Christ in God. When he burst forth from that tomb, when he stepped forth from that tomb and resurrection, we're identified because we were clothed upon, because we were hidden with Christ in God. We could step forth from that tomb also, not being naked before God. A finished work. A completed work. A finished work, Christ crucified. A finished work, Christ buried. And gone through the death state for 3 days. A finished work, Christ glorified. A finished work, Christ resurrected. And then we read in Colossians, the 2nd chapter, verse 10, and ye are complete in him. Not only is Christ crucified, but you are identified as being crucified with him. A finished work. Your old nature identified as being crucified with him. But not only is Christ crucified, but he's also buried. And you identified as being buried with him in the tomb. And you also identified as already going through the death state.